Yo, yo.
Hey, what's good, Micah? I'm ready. I'm ready. If you are, man, I got the my phone charged and I got the questions ready.
Okay, okay. So let's get on it. I'm just getting dressed right now, getting ready to bounce the sound check and shit.
Okay.
But, let's shit it in, man. You know, because I'm.
Okay, okay. I won't make it like super long. Don't trip.
It's all love, OJ. It's all love. I really appreciate you.
Put
on my hat and put on my shoes.
Okay. For sure. Okay. Got you.
Who you calling from?
Dub CNN.
Okay,
Dub
CNN. As you're ready, do you want me to answer the question with the question?
No, you don't have to. You could just elaborate as you want to. When I transcribe it, you know, I'll condense it a tad bit. But yeah, you could just, you know, whatever you want. All right, here we go, man. Dub CNN checking in with West Coast Hip Hop Pioneer Micah 9, man. What's good, my man?
Oh, man, it's all love.
That's what's up, man. Last time Dub CNN caught up with you was at the Rhyme Fest. You were rocking the stage with Haiku the Tot. What's the status of Haiku the Tot, Freestyle Fellowship, and Micah 9, respectively, right now?
And we released a project about a month and a half, 2 months ago called, it was a surprise album called A, for, AM Radio.
Okay.
M for me, but it's spelled AYEM space RAYDIO, AM Radio.
Go.
And we're getting a warm response from that project as well, so that's like convolution. Tour as the fellowship and the fellowship, as a freestyle fellowship and fellowship experience.
Right. Dope. So you said your album is coming out on the 19th, and the name of that is Future.
Future Time Travel.
Famous Future Time Travel.
Yeah.
Dope. And the name of the tour that you're on, I had missed that.
It's Keep the Feel Future Time Travel Tour.
Dope. Okay. Make sure, you know, do fans, you guys go check that out. Having influenced many MCs with your distinct style, Micah 9, I wanted to ask you, what's your thoughts on the game today?
Well, it takes a lot more now than just being a good MC. If you're a local MC, I'd say you got to get on the road, move around, get your online metrics up, social networking, the videos as well as your projects, and, you know, stage performance, you know, find a way to finish strong.
Right. Tight.
I hear like you know, borrows and tags of albeit maybe some style I did back in the '80s or the '90s or the early 2000s.
Right. Right. Matt, speaking on that, that's crazy because my next question was, are there any new artists that you're feeling?
Yeah, I like the cats coming up from Blow, all the young MCs, you know, in the underground that's been crushing that I've met as openers on this tour.
Nice.
And even some of the cats that are like approaching mainstream success, you know, like out of Shy Town in different spots, or like, you know, some of the turn up, you know, trap raps as well. You know, I like the intensity of the flow, especially when it
right.
East Coast, you know, they started to get the hang of it. Down south, of course, been chopping.
Right.
So I wouldn't say particularly one name, but I would say that there's a cat out there, like, you know, that I've been checking out, you know, like on the underground scene, as well as, there's different kinds of underground. You got the underground that's like, you know, deep
Right.
Underground is kind of more like trap style underground.
Right.
I like how that's converging with the beats. The beats are going from like dubstep to trap step. Now it's like more bass arena.
Right. Right.
It's all kind of coming back to that good old fashioned hip hop.
Yep.
Soul,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
Okay.
How did, and speaking on your style, how did, you know, you're, a lot of, like you said, you'll hear people kind of mimic, certain styles today. How did you develop your style? Because, you know, everybody knows that, you know, you got, you have one of the more intricate and unique styles in the, ever in the game. How did you develop? You said you like to do things differently to keep you interested. I heard that, but like, is there anything else? Nice.
And then, you know, if you talk about the rapid fire delivery.
Right.
Something I started maybe like, I don't know, I want to say like 86, 85, something like that, just started chopping.
Right.
Just double chopping it for fun. I kind of kept it on the route. Maybe like 86, 87 or so, I started going for it.
Right.
And, hold on real quick.
Okay. Well, in Oklahoma, like Oklahoma.
I'm in Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, Kansas.
Yeah, Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, okay, cool.
I just felt like, man, I felt the impact
of what, the heat?
The freaking mosquitoes.
Oh, the mosquitoes. Got you.
Yeah, you're
biting stuff.
If you give me
that. Got you. Yeah.
Take a more theoretical approach to the rapping. I played instruments and make beats and stuff too. You know, production is just blessed to be around, you know, the Merck Park Jazz Cat.
Right.
And just mainly, you know, focusing on, you know, just kind of keeping somewhat of a theoretical approach to the rapping.
Right.
And I think that's where some of the melodic started to kick in. And even though my parents were musicians and stuff, I was encouraged to, hip-hop,
right,
you know? And that was dramatically different culturally at the time.
Mm.
That I started rhyming like maybe 81,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
12. You know, I just got into it real serious from start. You know, I was talking about my little rhyme books and shit.
Right.
Off through high school, it kind of helped me get through high school. I got accepted to a couple of colleges, but by then I had some record deals.
Nice. Yeah, that's for, that's a pro, yeah. Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, did a little better than and one circuit, you know. I think you went pro. Sure. Okay, continuing out, along the same lines, what inspired you? What was it that inspired you? What was the kicker that made you pursue a career as an MC? You said you pursued it tough since 12. And so what was it?
Well, I think that when, because I was on my own social security, right? You know, I've been hustling, working.
Right.
You know, back then the rapper money was pretty good. Well, the music money was pretty good. They was giving some good deals.
Right. Right.
My mission was, you know, I did some demos and started getting those, waiting for those little checks to come in and stuff. And I was like, okay, man, I can do this for a living, you know.
Right.
So, and that was still like one of the major styles, and, you know, playing all those contract games, deal memos and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, running the crowd. I mean, I moonlighted, did all kind of jobs on the side. Big art direction, films, fucking roofing, plumbing.
Right.
Nice. So this is the IT direction at one time of my life.
Right.
That was a long time ago. But once, you know, like I started doing shows, I made some records. I think one of my first records that came out was a record with this guy, Matt Rock.
No.
With Jesse Jackson, first ran for president, I guess, back in the 80s.
Okay.
And, you know, hear your stuff on the radio and all that stuff is cool. And then, you know, writing songs for people and getting that a couple songs for this new rapper style that was on the NWA album compilation before they made it NWA proper.
Nice.
And, you know, I was starting to see, you know, stuff that I had a hand in and stuff that was loosely associated with, rather that was taken off and blown up. And by, you know, the mid-80s, I started going to New York every summer, hanging out, getting more of my dance hall bars up, my house music bars up, EDM bars. I was like, that stuff.
Right.
But actually, the beginning of my EDM stuff was more like 81 when I started buying records and shit, Kraftwerk, Planet Rock, all that stuff. But,
Planet Rock.
Yeah, all that stuff. So when I would like rock with DJs, you know, I'd get a little bread, do a house party, stuff like that. And, you know, but when I realized I'd make a living with it was when I stopped working, stopped hustling, and went full time with the music.
Gotcha.
It was viable. Like, I did my first nationwide tour when I was 19.
Tight.
And I was like 40 cities, so it was cool. You know, still at that time, kind of putting my brand in the top on the map, you know, so far as like our underground brand, you know, and the way that we, I guess, redefined the term for freestyling and helping get the world to freestyle in conjunction with the good life and
dang.
Like, that kind of thing, or put in a slam cadence.
That's
so, so far as like making a living and doing this and getting breaded, and really knowing it was really truly viable was probably around the time when I really started full time with the fellowship.
Right.
Because it was like a deal here, a deal there, a remix here, a remix there, but nothing really substantial and not quite that many shows. So when I clicked up with the fellowship, we started doing shows, and we started independent projects, started selling those, so it started to work the independent business model.
Right.
Of hip hop, and that's when, you know, it's like, okay, not only can I make money with these deals and majors, but I can make money selling and putting this shit up on my own.
On your own, right. Right.
So, you know, by the end, you know, we're deal hopping and doing albums, stuff like that, projects, and then off in the 90s, same thing, like, more kind of went back into the independent realm after, Fellowship's last major deal with Island.
Okay.
We have to buy stuff to deal with Capital. I had to deal with Capital. I did an album, but didn't get a chance to come out, so.
Okay.
I'm on back on the independent thing for creative control, stuff like that, on through the 90s, but not. And then by that time, by the mid late 90s, we had like Utah in the mix. I released a couple albums of myself with those deals, and just across the board, you know, was able to like help out a little living to where now I get, you know, paid like features and paid for, you know, hosting parties and shit.
Right.
And stuff like that. I get paid for one-off shows. I get paid on tours.
Right.
So, and hope, you know, and I get little royalties, which is cool too.
Right.
A lot. And little placements here and there, not a lot.
Right.
And, you know, just still working it. And I'm hoping that maybe in the next year or two, people will know I'm in this for life. And, you know, they'll actually go back and check the back catalog.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, next question. What was it like for you growing up in California in general?
California in general is crazy, man. Because, you know, you got the street life and shit. That's everywhere, every brand of it.
Right.
And then, you know, I grew up in foster homes, shit. You know, I mean, it's like, I was 9. I lived with my mom from like 9.
Right.
And, you know, kind of moved into a fucking crack house when I was 15.
Man.
I was like, doing all the wild shit.
Right.
You know, hip hop was a good way for me to kind of escape to a certain degree.
Right.
From the bullshit.
Yep.
You know, pursue a different path.
Right.
A lot of them just wanted me to gangster rap some shit. Maybe that might have helped.
Right.
You know, but at that time, I feel like somebody else was doing, I was hearing something else. And growing up in general, it was wonderful. I mean, so far as like, you know, like, I had a lot of fights and shit, you know, like, you know, the white kids call me nigga. You know, I was the white boy, in the hood. And, you know, I was blocked, get beat up, or beat somebody up, go on another block. And I was known all over LA.
Right.
It was Microphone Mike, too, as a young teenager coming up, you know, Microphone Mike in the 80s. I was going around, and I played basketball, too, so.
Oh, okay.
Birmingham High, and I played
At Dorsey?
Yeah, I went to Dorsey, right? You know what I'm saying? I was like, when we was on the road, or when I went to Baltimore, Birmingham, too.
Right. Right.
So I was just out of whatever CD that was there.
Dope.
So I kind of got microphone mic came out there a little bit more. And then, you know, you hit Hollywood, hit Venice Beach, you sell your CD, you put your Kango out there.
Dope.
You make like mock battles, real battles, and people give us money, so you're able to eat like that.
Right.
So the chipper, you know, you have the crash units, which were like the Daryl Gates, crash units, killers to shoot us and stuff, a lot of police. A lot of unnecessary deaths. I lost a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of my friends who were in the B-Boy and later got into the street life.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of took a different path. Some of them are longer with us.
Right.
So I kind of stuck.
Yep.
And, you know, drugs, all the welts, and the riot coming up later. And just, you know, all that kind of stuff was kind of crazy.
Right. Right.
So it was a blood neighborhood, but I had a lot of friends that were blood scripts, essays, all kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So, just growing up in that respect, was interesting because, you know, we had our own crew, which was like homeboys only, and it just consisted of people from all over Southern California. So whenever we would get up and have our picnic and go out and do stuff, we always organized a lot of fun things.
Right. Right. Right.
If somebody was running, somebody was popping, somebody was breaking, somebody was artist or something, somebody was DJing, you know, so it would come together pretty nice. And by the time I was like, maybe, I don't know, 15, 16, they had a place called the Radio or Radio John.
Right. Where was that at?
A place called The Radio.
The Radio.
Radiotron, rather.
Radiotron.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Radiotron is what they called it. And, you know, I sometimes did school just to go and hang out. This is where I met Prime, got the original cartoon, and I met Zune and Legit when it came out.
Nice.
I used to ride a little bit too, and Bomb at the Pan Pacific Theater when that was Elvis to his Belmont Tunnel.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And I used to hang out with Skate, rest in peace, and some other cats from the CBS crew. That is Can't Be Stopped, that's Mirror, and a lot of famous artists from that crew, Mirror, Exostereo, and, you know, cats like Faber and then Renown. So.
Okay.
That was most interesting. Yet, in general, I would say growing up in L.A., you get thick skin, you know, keep game and all that stuff, that kind of just comes.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I've been shot. I'll let my own shit. I've never killed anybody or nothing.
Right.
And he's glad that, you know, all those days seem to be, you know, behind anybody. Anything can happen at any time. That's why every day I wake up and I express maximum gratitude, you know, to the universe, to the Almighty.
Right.
You know, just for another day. Dig. So.
Absolutely. Right.
Not just dying from the streets, but, you know, be it drugs, or they might have peaked off so far as your goals and objectives were concerned, or in a lot of the cases, long-term incarceration.
Right. Definitely.
Prison industrial complex, I mean, but.
Definitely. Okay, being a major influence in hip hop, you know, since the, you know, Project Blow days, etc., I'm sure you have an extensive catalog of collaborations. Do you have a favorite collaboration of yours, of all time?
Well, collaboratively speaking, I mean, not counting Faith, the top.
Right.
I do like the three projects that I did with a brother named Jada Sarge and DJ Drez. Magic Heart Genies. Magic Heart Genies.
Got it.
It's going to be probably one of my most slept on collaborative efforts. We did three albums, and I'm just getting it in. So fans are like, nah, fans want to work with different people other than Ab and AC and the Fellowship. They can get in on that.
Dope. Okay. I'll make sure the fans go check that out, you know, for everybody that's not up on that. What projects can we expect from Micah 9 in 2015? And are there any available now that, other than Magic Heart Genies, that fans should be checking for?
Okay. Collaboratively speaking, I've done a host of features. So many that I couldn't even begin to list.
Okay. Crazy.
Songs for his project, and what it is to go online, like a comic strip thing that moves or something to click. I'm tripping right now. I'm looking at these little lights in the forest.
Yeah.
I realize that I'm looking at fireflies.
I thought you were about to say UFOs or something.
Oh, no. I'm ready for that. Has somebody ever seen a firefly? They're out here.
Probably on TV.
Right. collaboratively speaking, though, check that Magic Heart Genies album. Then, so far as like features go,
right.
There's been so many interesting ones, man. I really, you know, like one I did with my bro MC Rose, who's on tour with us. As a matter of fact, there's an album coming out in another couple months.
Okay.
It's called Woe Is Me. That's the album.
Tight. Nice.
The beat by my man Six Block, and it's just kind of like it just crushes. You know, we crush a lot of EDM styles, so it's a mix of hip hop EDM. It's hard.
Okay, what's the name of that one? Kings of the Jungle.
Yeah, that's the name of the song with me and MC Woes, and the name of the album is Woe Is Me.
Okay.
But other features, collaboratives that I did, like on my last album, Sovereign Soul.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, with Factor, it peaked at number one on the CMJ charts for a few weeks.
Nice.
I'm very proud of that achievement.
Nice.
I have a variety of collaborations on that with Oscar Nautilus, with Chesky Ramos. I have a song called Five Mics with Open Mike Eagle, Mike King,
nice.
Mike Manson, Mike Hill Myers, and I'm the fifth mic. But a song called Indigenous Areas is a song I have with the god Irul Allah.
Okay.
And that was special to me. Not only did I match the verse work that he did pattern-wise, which I like to do a lot through the years.
Right.
You know, I've been doing that since, like, the 80s, like, match my verse patterns or match your verse patterns with other MCs.
Right,
like
right.
So I've been changing the words up, kind of, you know, Weird Al Yankovic on a little bit. But, this song Indigenous Areas is special, you know, because I believe, you know, Irul Allah is a very special MC. And, you know, I would prompt people to check that out. Just on the sake of this pure hip hop realness, just that's a classic to me. I dig it.
Right.
I've been kind of tripping collabs, man.
What about solo projects that are coming out from you this year?
One solo project begin this year is Famous Future Time Travel.
Right.
That comes out May 19th.
Right. Okay.
I only have one feature on this album. I only have one feature because some of my albums have been like really feature laden.
Okay.
I wanted to see if I could hold an album on my own. I only have one feature that's Kirby Dominant.
Dope.
And that's a song called Coastal.
Okay.
Which I, you know, I like this album that I have with Factor because he sent me all the beats and he had names for each beat and I just made the songs around the names he had for each beat.
Nice.
They all kind of morphed together pretty cool.
Nice.
What I want to do at some point is start working on a another project that I'll probably release by the end or by next year, because I'm going to work this record at least for the better part of this year since it came out in May.
Right.
It'll be an album with different producers. I'm sure I'll get a couple tracks from back there, but I want my son, he goes under the moniker Seth Ether.
Nice.
I want him to get some tracks. I want my man Nico Luminous to get some tracks. My man Ezra out there on the island in Hawaii. My man Paul Switch. My man Gino Cacino. My man DJ Boggle. There's a variety of different producers. Gnome Beats, G-N-O-M-E Beats. That's my man Tim. That's his handle on SoundCloud. Just a lot of great track makers out there. And other people I haven't worked with, I'll be like Gaslight Killer, and just, you know.
Right. Gotcha.
Just whoever's available. Right? But mainly, I just want to do an album where I pick a lot of different beats and I crush more like just a new album, basically.
Right, right.
Because, I mean, unless by popular demand, I'm dealing with that. I'm talking about that. But I just think it'd be interesting to hear my styles on some newer, different beats from a variety of different producers. So that would probably be the next thing I do.
Okay. Nice.
You know, I'm touring because Jupiter's doing his thing with the Cleaners, K-L-E-E-R-N-D.
Okay.
HB has a new album out as well. It's getting ground. And I got to get ready to go right now.
Okay. We're almost done. Anyway, Micah.
No, we're good.
Okay. Cool. Okay, all right, my man. Going back to your projects, are there any? We talked about the ones that's coming out this year, and the one that you're going to be working on as well. Is there anywhere any ones that they can get on iTunes right now that they can purchase right now? Okay.
You should be able to get Citrus Sessions.
Nice.
You should be able to get Timetable. You should be able to get Mycology.
Nice.
You should be able to get Gramophone. And you should be able to get 1969 and Sovereign Soul all online.
Nice.
As well as the Magic Art Genie material. And I know the rest of the stuff should be on Spotify pretty soon.
Okay.
Alpha
Pup?
Okay.
Dope. All right, Micah. Who are your top five MCs of all time? I ask everybody this. So it's always in yeah.
I would say AC Long.
Nice.
Abstract Rude.
Okay.
I would say LL.
Yeah.
Rakim.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Ooh, that's a cold top five right there. I don't think you could just.
And I also respect to the goddesses, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I know it's those all guys, but I'm just saying those guys that I know through the years all the time, you know.
Right.
And I just thought, like, okay, cats you work with that you hear and respect the consistency and the creativity as well as cats that I don't hang out with as much or know, like LL or Harris One, but I just like their all time. The fact that they've had on me still lasts. So, you know.
Right.
I mean,
Right.
That's the rhyming. And during mandatory busing when I was in sixth grade, that's when I started rapping, entertaining kids on the back of the bus. Shit.
Tight. that was your career path right there. Yo. Okay, Micah, where can fans find you on social media? You know right now is a social media era. Where can fans find you on social media?
Fans can up on my fan page, MYK89 on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a Twitter account, and that platform is at MYK89.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They can also visit my site, Micah9.com or M9ENT.com. And you can also, you know, follow the homie sites and stuff too. You know, like Coup d'Etat.
Right.
Fellowship, AM Radio.
Right.
I strongly urge people to get the new AM Radio album as well as Abstract Blues' new album. And mine. Mm-hmm. And check for Woe Is Me. MC Woe's coming out like a month or two.
Right. You guys got to check for that, definitely. Okay, Micah, man, thank you a lot from Dub CNN and from me personally, man, for taking out the time. Any last words? Did you want to contribute?
I would just say that it's all love. Love gets us to the mind, but love is a good way to resolve conflict.
Yes. Right.
The big events that are happening now seem to be the unveiling of the falsehoods that a lot of us have been conditioned to deal with, so we can work harder at eliminating this pseudo-narcissistic meme of my way is the only way, my way is the right way.
Mm.
And we can move past a point of tolerance of others with difference to get to a point of coexistence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I agree 1,000%. Yes, man. Thanks a lot, Micah9. I know you're busy and you're on the road right now, and I from the bottom of my heart appreciate it, man. Appreciate you taking out the time with us.
I felt that, man. Thank you so much. I really felt that respect.
For sure, my man.
Thanks.
All right.